Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, pop culture, and successful client agency relationships, because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I am Luz Corona, community editor at Adweek, coming to you live from the podcast lounge at Social Media Week. And I am not alone because I am accompanied by our guest, JP Petty.
Hey,
from
Wyden.
What's up? Yeah, and our executive editor, Jameson Fleming.
Hey, gang, gang.
Yeah.
Excited to be here.
Yo. My favorite episodes are when Jameson pops on every once in a while. I think the last one you did was like Super Bowl, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I got some hot takes. Yeah.
Oh, you really do listen, JP.
I showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah,
just like today.
So, yeah.
Offered his hot take. Yeah, but well, JP, we just came off a really great session on stage.
Was great. Like, thank you.
People were loving it and love the work that you do.
I had a good time. Thanks for having me.
So you've worked on a lot of stuff and at Wyden and overseeing Bodega. And I just want to know, like, you come up with cool campaigns, yes.
Yeah.
But as a creative leader, how do you nurture that relationship and foster that trust to know that breakthrough work can come through?
Oh, man. So I think it starts with the team. Like, Bodega now, it's so crazy because we just hired a creative lead in Shanghai, Bodega. And that's surreal to me because when we were first thinking about this concept with my partners in New York City, like the building blocks of Bodega, we weren't sure if that idea was even going to last 2 weeks.
The right? Bodega idea.
Bodega,
wow.
Right? Like, I mean, in all seriousness, I think like we want to do amazing work all of the time, but in Wyden and Kennedy, we experiment with a bunch of stuff. So we were just trying things. And I think, you know, we've been able to experience growth and be a part of some really cool work because the team is really strong. Like Mike Vitiello, who's our head of content in New York office, Chris Martin, who's our general manager, Dom Tunon, who's our showrunner. I'm just like listing names now. Somebody's going to be pissed because I didn't say their name. But
an acceptance
yeah,
speech.
Yeah, I'm just going to focus on the New York team since I'm here right now. But they're amazing. So it makes it really easy to have like conversations internally with our colleagues at Wyden, but also with our clients. You have to like, I want to only have honest and confident conversations with them. And the team that's backing me up and that just makes my job really easy sometimes. They take pleasure in making my job hard sometimes. But on the work front, it's easy because they're like best in class.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
The best social aid team on the planet, if I
yeah.
can say so.
No, I think, yeah, let's Man, go I'm with saying, it.
Maybe not too loud.
Yeah.
It's like review season. So they're taking notes on this bike. Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking the agency client relationships and, you know, Wyden has a pretty wide variety of clients, you know, with the agency. Mm-hmm. And some of them are great about being out there in the public. And so walk us through what those brands understand about why it's so valuable to PR, let you guys be able to PR that relationship.
Mm.
Because, you know, I won't throw some of your other clients out there, but we know some of them are a lot quieter in terms of what they'll let you do. So,
some of our oldest clients won't let us talk about some of our work sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, like a McDonald's and some of the other ones you have, like, you know, they are fully on board with getting that work out there.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we live in a super transparent world today. And so people want to know, like, hey, who's behind that work? That matters as much as the story. And so, like, yes, we have a job to do in being advertisers. We need to put that work forward. But our clients who work really closely with our PR team internally. I got to shout them out too. They're amazing. Like, I know you guys talk to them all of the time, but like Rebecca Groff and her team, Teresa Collins, who's my absolute favorite person on the planet.
She's great.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. Danny Hernandez, who isn't as good as Teresa, but equally amazing.
You know, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a really good sweater game, from what I see.
His drip is 10 out of 10, you know? But no, in all seriousness, though, they help us establish that relationship with the clients who are more comfortable. Like, I think all of our clients walk in with the same understanding. Hey, Wyden, you can sometimes be overwhelming. You can sometimes push. And like, we need this work to resonate. And we appreciate the relationship, but you guys can't be like loud and, you know, obnoxious and bully us around. But our comms team does a really good job at establishing trust with our client partners who are into that and want to tell those stories really early on in the relationship.
Yeah. So how ingrained is that comms team in the everyday work that you do? Because I think of all good of question. The agencies I deal with, Wyden definitely has one of the larger comm teams for the size of the agency. Yeah. I feel like every few months I meet somebody new on that team that I didn't know existed. And so how ingrained are they within what you were doing on the creative side so that they're informed and they know how to pitch the work and where to pitch the work?
Yeah, that's really good. So we try to make sure in our process, they're getting their eyes on everything. Like, we're not shooting anywhere near 100% on that. We could be way better at that, but they do a really good job at not waiting for an invite either to see some work. If they hear about it in the hallways, it's essential for them to see it soon, ASAP. And that has everything to do with like the culture that Groff has helped establish with that team. I think they're really approachable. They're never trying to shoot anything down. They're making sure the creative's confidence stay high, even if they have notes on a thing. But they are super ingrained. I think actually Teresa might spend more time in Chicago with our McDonald's clients than she does in our Soho office, which is crazy. Like, you know, we've come like so far. I love that for us because it helps frame our work up in a way where we're not just talking to ourselves. Like, their role in our organization is to make sure people care about the work that we're doing. And so having them kind of cover every corner on our briefs and throughout our creative process has been like extremely helpful, you know? Mm-hmm. And the teams that aren't doing great work are actively hiding from them as well. Like, we're not always doing amazing work, but when it's time, those things are really tight and they're like, oh yeah, I know this isn't, if I show this to the PR team, they're going to have 10,000 notes for me. Like, that's just the culture of the organization now. You know, it's great.
I love that. So they're like pretty proactive then. Like, they're like very supporters. That's
very,
so
very,
great.
Very.
I feel like even setting up this conversation, like, there was just such a level of trust already. You know, like, Teresa knows what we look for and we know what you guys are like, you know, about. So it's good.
Yes.
But JP, it's not just about keeping clients happy. It's not just about keeping the big bosses happy. Internally, you got to keep the creatives excited. I mean, you guys are doing this great work with like McDonald's and Nike, but how do you keep the creatives excited about the accounts they're working on?
You know, that starts early. I think as an agency, we're fortunate enough to get a lot of phone calls from a lot of potential partners. And, you know, before we commit, like, we always want to have a conversation and understand the business and the challenges and stuff. But before we commit, we want to make sure that one of the first filters we have is like, the office going to be excited about this? Like, if we have to get up in front of the entire agency and say, hey, guess what, guys, we're working on X and this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
If it's like crickets, it's like yikes, you know? And so like, even on the onset, I'm not sure if that's like the best approach, but it's the one that's working for us. Even on the onset, like, by the time we sign someone, just know the whole organization is excited about it. Not just the creative teams, but our media teams that work really hard, all of our planners, our strategists, our creative strategy team is like over the moon about it usually. And so like, by new business meeting number 2 or 3, it's going around the office that we might be talking to such and such, and everybody is like all in there hoping and praying and like maybe throwing ideas over the fence, coming from everywhere. It's like that. It's the culture of Wyden and Kennedy.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah. I love that. I just pictured like you just, you know, walking out for the day and someone's running up to you with like a pitch deck on.
Yo, that has actually happened. It's like, I remember once I was supposed to in Portland going date night with my wife. So I was running late in the office and she's like, I'll just meet you there. If I have to physically drag you out of here, I will do that. I'm not above that. And we were waiting by the elevator and one of our residents was coming like out of a room. I guess they saw me waiting. And literally had like slides on her phone to show me for one of the projects that we were working on. I thought, damn, this is pretty amazing. But my wife was like, that's great, but we have to. She's like, yeah, maybe you can grab some time on this calendar later. But that is the level of commitment that our whole agency has to our open briefs.
I love that. That's great. Cool. Cool. You're going to have to be in like disguise in your office.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And with, you know, good agency client relationships, there's not a whole lot of really good clients out there right now, but I know you guys recently inked on with DoorDash and, you know, when I talked to Kofi, the CMO,
that was great.
And he was talking about, you know, how we treat our agencies and how we work with them. You know, I always go to all the other agencies on the roster and be like, can you back this up? Because, you know, there's have to have this natural sense of skepticism and Gut and the Martin agency were like, oh my God, this guy like knows how to treat an agency. So from your perspective, what is DoorDash doing right in terms of how they work with you and how they just generally nurture that relationship?
Well, I think DoorDash is an amazing case. First of all, you smashed that conversation with Kofi. I was in a crowd.
That was a good one.
In the background. You did a really good job on that. We, as an agency, like to take credit for Kofi's philosophy in working with agencies because he is a product of Wyden and Kennedy. So he understands there's a different degree of empathy there. It took too long for him to call us, but, you know, it's cool. But in all seriousness, though, he's not lying. He's ready to get in there. I think we just talked about this on the stage, Luis, but our best partnerships are when we're not just getting, like, direction or orders from our client. Like, they're also invested in whatever the thing is they're asking us about. So you can feel it really early on. You can feel the energy. They're ready and willing to roll up their sleeves and get busy with us. They don't get offended by questions that we should probably already have the answers to. Like, they're always willing to kind of get in there and get dirty with us. I think that's been, you know, all of our successful relationships are like that. McDonald's out the gate, DoorDash. We talked about it a little bit, but DoorDash was actually in Portland for the Super Bowl. Like, they set the war room up right outside of my office on our sixth floor. It was crazy. I think they actually transformed my office into a green room for one of our
Well, you brought all the creators in for the Super Bowl campaign, which is not something agencies typically do.
That's right. I remember, like, the Friday before I was leaving for the weekend, the executive producers were basically telling me to get out of my office so that they can they can move the stuff around. But, like, but that's great, though. Actually, like, restored the feeling. When you can feel, like, that collaboration at that level for a moment that big, you can't, like, that's the stuff you can't pay for. You can't ask for anything better than that. Yeah. And we got that type of relationship with all of our absolute faves.
I love that. I didn't know Kofi came from Wyden.
He spent a little bit of time at Wyden and Kennedy. Wow. I mean, like, yo, look, like I said, like, Wyden does a really good job at putting dope talent out into the world. I think Dan and Dave's vision was to not have people locked in there for 30, 50 years, but to kind of teach them. Well, first of all, surround them with, like, great creative ambition, but also teach them how to just treat people in this industry. I think we spend a lot of time on that, too. Yeah. Learn a lot of lessons at Wyden.
Good for the business, too, when they go brand side and then they can call you back.
That's true. We got a fair share of that. Like, sometimes you would think. Sometimes we got, you know, talent that left Wyden and they dedicate their next chapter to, like, absolutely getting all of their licks back with Wyden and Kennedy, you know? For sure.
I have two more questions for you, and then I'll finally let you go today because I've just been spending 2 hours.
Although this has been great.
Okay, so this is something that we've been asking all our podcast guests. So recently, there was a fake creator ad from a brand called Get Dirty last week. It was created using a deep fake app. How do you think AI and deep fakes will impact the creator economy?
Scary world, right? I think what we're going to see in that economy is just more humanity in all of the ways that the creators are showing up. I think it's why we're attracted to creators in the first place as marketers, as brand marketers, is because they bring like a degree of personality to the table that you don't want to lose. But a lot of times in those exchanges, we have an objective. And what happens in the creative process is it becomes a little bit of a tug of war. It's like, yeah, I need you to maybe do it this way and say this and don't forget this. I think with the introduction of AI and all of the ways it's evolving, creators are going to be prone to standing more on business as it relates to their personalities. Like, you're going to see more of that come out. Like, they're going to be like less willing to read the script as such. You know, you're going to feel more sauce, more humanity, more personalities in their delivery, the things that they take on, how they show up. They're going to be very, very protective of that. And I think that's going to be good for the work overall.
Yeah, you know? I love that. I can't wait to see all these hot takes come to life. I feel like everybody has had such a good answer.
I know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. JP, I wanted to end this conversation with something that you said on stage, but I feel like it's so worth repeating on this episode. There's a question in the audience from our girl Taylor asking about if you are like a Black creator in the workplace, you're having trouble kind of getting your voice heard or even just finding that bravery, that courage. Do you have advice? Can you go over that again? Because that was really great.
Yeah, I think the thing you can't let any environment do is like mute you. Taylor specifically was asking about like finding their voice. I mean, Taylor has no issue with her voice.
Job. We want to.
Yeah, or her organization or her job. She loves it. but I think you can't let whatever the condition or environment is like shrink you in any way or like quiet you in any way. And I know that's really tough. It's easier to say up here, and it's easy for me to say, I recognize my role in this industry and at Wieden & Kennedy, but it wasn't always like this. And I think I've had like the privilege and honor of being surrounded by some really great supporters. So my next bit would just be find those people who are invested in you and do place value on perspective. They don't always have to agree with what you're saying, but I think perspective is important in this business. And if it's just so narrow, we're going to get very narrow work and there will be nothing exciting to talk about on this podcast or anywhere else. So yes, and specifically for Black creators or creatives in the industry, that can be really hard because this is an industry that's dominated by people who don't look like them or come from where we come from. And so don't let that be overwhelmingly detrimental to your voice, and then also find your village and tribe. I'm always down to take a phone call too. Like, I love that part of the job. I think that's what keeps me, you know, coming to work every day. It's like, yeah, the campaigns are great, but if I can watch like the growth of creative or a team that is trying to find their voice and help them and be a part of their village in any way, shape, or form, I'm 100% into that.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. Man, what a just great advice. Good way to end this. I want to also encourage our listeners to tune back to the last episode we did with you about designing for narcissism.
Oh, that was an epic one.
Oh my gosh. That was epic good. One.
Yeah.
Man, you just
polarizing title there, right?
Yes. But, yeah. But makes you want to check it out.
Yeah,
right?
You gotta go listen and see what we were talking about. We were talking big conversation. That was great. But you guys do a great job. You got some great. We referenced the podcast with Cam Kirk on the stage. That was an amazing episode. You guys are killing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming back and talking with us.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jameson, for joining in.
Thank you for having me.
Any party I have, you could crash, yo.
Yeah.
Maybe not any party.
That's fair. I'm a journalist.
Okay, yeah. We make you sign a waiver.
Yes.
You know?
NDA.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining. Yeah. Thank you, listeners, and thank you to our live audience. And that's a wrap on today.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network. Be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Adweek family. Young Influentials, hosted by editor Colin Daniels. and Marketing Vanguard, hosted by Chief Experience Officer Jenny Rooney.